Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Journey into Comics with your hosts, Nate Phillips and Brandon Stone.
I am a god, you dull creature.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another BrandoCast. I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. If you're in the States, if you're elsewhere, I hope you had a good day and hope you're having an enjoyable weekend. But just to get this thing started off here, I guess I just got to like come out with some news. Since it was Thanksgiving and we got to see both of our families, me and my wife, we were able to finally reveal publicly that we are expecting a baby. And that has been news that we have been sitting on for about a week. Only a few chosen people got to know before our families, our best friends, and people that I tend to talk to every day. I mean, that was really hard to keep quiet about that. I assume my wife did the same thing. But yeah, so we're expecting a baby. Around the end of July is seeming to be the tentative. We're really early along. Our first appointment won't be for the doctor or whatever for, you know, a little bit to come. I think it's like right after Christmas, but so yeah, pretty exciting news from my camp. I want to, again, hope you guys are having a wonderful weekend. I am enjoying my time off from work, being lazy. Of course, I'm doing that today. Today is or was Black Friday. It's now Saturday morning as I record this, but, yeah, Thanksgiving was really eventful for me. And it started off right when I got home, getting ready to go to bed. Because I saw a post on Facebook saying that CM Punk, the wrestler, who basically left his company, the WWE, in January of last year. Actually, it was this year, wasn't it? In January of this year, he walked out. And nobody knew why. There was a lot of speculation, a lot of hearsay. And then he wrote out his contract, and we haven't heard him say anything. He hasn't said anything. So he finally spoke up, and it was a two-hour-long podcast on the Art of Wrestling podcast with his buddy, Colt Cabana. And it was a very compelling podcast because he went in depth. He repeated multiple times that he wasn't there to defame the WWE or anyone in there. But when he's talking, he's going to sound a little bitter. And I guess he has reason to. But so I just kind of wanted to talk about that because it was major news for anyone who's a wrestling fan. Now, I want you guys to go listen to the podcast to hear it in his words. Because he goes into a lot of detail. I'm just going to kind of go over the little notes here that I have written down, but basically, after the Royal Rumble this year, he decided he was going home because of his health. He had some banged up knees. He suffered a concussion during the Royal Rumble, and he had a spot on his back. It was turned out to be a staph infection, and the WWE doctor, pretty much ignored his. His request to have it cut open. He was getting kind of, you know, mad about that, and it turned out to be a staph infection. But basically, he wasn't getting the time off. He felt like he needed to rehab himself since he re-signed. I think he had like one little stint of like time after WrestleMania 29 where he got like a month and a half off to kind of chill. And honestly, I kind of think that's where a lot of this stuff during this time kind of stemmed, because he got to see for the first time in a long time what it was like not to be on the road, not to be with your head kind of tucked down and just keep going forward. But he told them he was done, he was going home. Now, whether or not he was just going to ride it out to the end of his contract in July, because the Royal Rumble was in January, and or whatnot, I'm not too sure about that, or if he was going to come back and they were going to, well, basically make him, you know, let him go home, recalibrate himself and come back and finish out his 6 months like he was supposed to. I don't know what the deal was with that, if he just said, "Hey, I'm going home. This is my end. I'm calling an end to it." But he decided to go home, and it was a few months later. He was expecting his royalty check, and it didn't come. And he found an older one that I guess he didn't cash, and it was expired. But he asked them to reissue it, and they kept kind of dodging him. Now, basically, Vince told the investors in February, I believe it was February, whenever they did their investors call, because they were talking about the network and everything like that. And he said, Punk is on a sabbatical. So somebody had asked about it. And then Punk gets a text or some notification from Vince saying that he's suspended for 2 months. Well, as he was trying to get a hold of people for this royalty thing, he got a text from Triple H asking him if he could had time to talk, but Punk was getting married. He was a day or two from getting married, and he said, "Hey, I'm going to get married and going on my honeymoon. I'll get back and I'll talk to you," right? So, on the day of his wedding, he gets a FedEx, and it's his termination paper saying that he's no longer needed, saying that he was in breach of contract as of late January, which is something I didn't know. Apparently, you cannot illegally in court retroactively find somebody in breach of contract. If somebody breaches your contract, you pretty much need to bring it up as soon as possible. That ensued a legal battle between him and the company over the royalty checks, the money that he was owed, and then going forward with them selling his merchandise, and he was appearing in the new video game, the one that I canceled on the last RainbowCast here. But so they got everything settled, and I guess they were still trying to get terms on their conditions, and because they were afraid that he was going to be going to TNA, for which he said there was absolutely no way he was going to TNA. He has no interest in even wrestling again. I mean, he's done. He is done, fellas. Call it. So basically, yes, that's his side of the story. Where you don't have Vince's or Triple H's or anyone else in the company side of the story. That is CM Punk's. But if you remember from his documentary, they were pretty truthful with how he was being treated his entire career. You know, pretty much stifling his creativity. Kind of pushing him aside. Elevating him and then stopping. Elevating, stopping. You know, let's push him. Let's give him the World Heavyweight title. And then let's just take it off of him. And then I don't know what we're going to do with him. So from what that documentary revealed, that never really changed. Apparently, after he resigned, it never changed. Even when he got himself over in the summer of 2011. And he was the WWE champion for 400 days or 435 days, however long it was. Just think about that. He was one of the top guys, and it never really changed how they treated him. That kind of irks me a little bit, because they need to treat their guys with a little bit more respect. Because as I said, that's his side of the story. He's saying that never changed. And now they could say, well, that's his point of view. You know, you're not hearing our side. But yet you're willing to put out a documentary featuring him, allowing him to say those things that had happened before. Now, why would you allow him to do that if they weren't, if they didn't have some truth to it? So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the gist of it. There's a lot of other stuff in that podcast he goes into about his worries about the bonus payouts for the pay-per-views with the WWE Network and a couple other things backstage that were irking him. But anyway, yeah, I would definitely suggest you guys, if you're a wrestling fan, go check that out. Because it was a hell of a damn show. It wasn't like... It was a shoot. He was telling it like it was. But it wasn't... He didn't come off as defaming. At times, he did turn it up a little bit when he got a little bit heated and passionate about what had happened to him and his point of view, but... So, yeah, guys, go check out The Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana. on his podcast. It's on iTunes. You know, just like you can download our podcast on iTunes, you can download that one as well and check that out if you are so interested. So now that I'm done rambling on about the whole punk situation, and hopefully I can stop from sounding so damn formal here. But so today was Black Friday, and we went out, and it was totally not crazy. Now, granted, we went out at like, 3 o'clock in the morning, and we went ahead and just went to our local Walmart, and it was dead. I mean, there were three cars there, and we went in there, and it was definitely, pick through, but they still had a lot of stuff. Pretty much everything, movies, games, you name it, they still had pretty much everything that was supposed to be on sale. And that's why I love going to that Walmart on Black Friday, because we went last year and I got a couple games from the GameStop ad. But this year I had my eyes set on some games because I wanted to get some games for the Xbox One, which, if you listen to the last episode for the podcast, as I smack my desk with my knee, I bought an Xbox One. And it came with Call of Duty, but I have not played that yet. I played it for like 10 minutes just to see, what it looked like and what was that. I'm just not that interested in Call of Duty. I never have been. But the reason why I got the Call of Duty bundle was because of the terabyte hard drive, and the system looked cool. As a collector, I mean, it was kind of cool to get, even if I have no interest in Call of Duty, which I guess is kind of an oxymoronic thing, but, it is what it is. So the games that I wanted to get, a couple of the launch games from last year because they were on sale. I wanted to get Rise Center Rome and Dead Rising 3. Another reason why I wanted to get those is because they were exclusive, console-wise. They are on PC, but I after venturing into that, I don't think that I'm going to become a PC gamer ever. Let's just say I like sitting in the comfort of a couch or a chair with a controller in my hand, just playing in my living room. I'm not going to have a PC hooked up to it or anything like that. Just screw it. Give me a console. I don't care if PC looks better. Into that. So we go there, and I'm digging through them too, because they have all these games, a whole bunch of stuff I don't care about. And I couldn't find Dead Rising anywhere, not even in the back. For some reason, it was either sold out or they just didn't have it. I did get Rise Center Rome, and then the other one I saw that was $25, because these were all supposed to be $25, was Shadow Mordor, which just came out in October. So it was like a month ago, and that's a $60 game, guys, for $25, and it scored high. It was one of the highest scored games of the year, right along with The Last of Us Remastered and Bayonetta 2. I know I got at least one eye roll there, but it is what it is. I saw it for $25 in the ad. I said, I'm picking it up for the Xbox One. Now, why didn't I buy it for that for PS4? Essentially, it's not a title, even though it scored high, that I saw coming or was like, oh, I'm going to get that on the PS4. So therefore, I'm more than okay with getting games like that on the Xbox One. Now, even if it runs a little bit worse, I'm not a graphics whore. I'm not worried about them running better, unless if it has technical issues, which I admittedly don't know if it does. But I went ahead and picked up Shadow of Mordor for the Xbox One. Now, I was also looking around, because I couldn't find Dead Rising anywhere. And on a whim, I just bought Watch Dogs. Now, I don't know if I mentioned this before on the podcast, but when I pre-ordered my PS4... I pre-ordered it with Watch Dogs because it was supposed to come out on launch. It was supposed to have its own launch bundle, but I didn't order the launch bundle. I ordered just the PS4, and then I pre-ordered Watch Dogs separately. So when that got pushed back, I canceled the pre-order on Watch Dogs, and then I got AC Black Flag. And then I never picked up Watch Dogs. When it came out, I saw it come out. I saw it looked a little bit worse. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to support it at full price. I'll wait till it goes down. And I got it for about half off. Even though, and I'm telling you this, okay, the ad said it was supposed to be for like $35. But there, they had one with a green sticker on it. And the green sticker versions, all the games were supposed to be, they had like a price guide. and the sticker was supposed to be $30. So I got kind of screwed on that because I started to fight it, and then my wife's like, oh, that's not bad. And I'm like, oh, you had to say that, didn't you? Whatever. Let's just go. But that was my, well, actually, no. I got a couple more things. I picked up a copy of Shadow Mordor for Rob, you know, Silent Rob. I got that for him, and I got it for him on PS4. I had to dig for that one, though, Rob. You owe me that. So, and then I also got, they had some used games up there, too, which, if you guys don't know, Walmart carries used games now. And they had, for $5, or like $4.99, or something like $4.95, or whatever, Twisted Metal Black on PS2. I was so surprised to see that. Locally, I see it for like $8 or $9. So I went ahead and jumped on that and got Twisted Metal Black because I just, for some reason, I still did not have that. So I got that, and then I bought my wife Little Big Planet 3, the limited plus edition, which I don't know if in the stores if it's supposed to be more than $60. But online on Amazon, when we looked, they had risen up to about $80. All right. And that could have been the original launch point, because honestly, I'm a little bit ignorant to that. But no, it was for $60, and we went ahead and got it. And then that was supposed to be, you know, be one of her Christmas gifts. She really loves Little Big Planet and you know, those platforming games like Mario and Rayman. So yeah, that was my Black Friday haul. You know, I made out pretty good. I was able to get all the Xbox games, you know, installed. Which, I mean, on both systems, that can take a while, but got that done. The only one I've played is Rise. And I guess I'll segue right into Rise, because that's the only one that I can really talk about, because I played it extensively today. And it's fun, but it is a little repetitive. It has a good battle system, though. I actually do like the counter, and then the breaking the, you know, breaking their guard, and then the execution system. It is very repetitive, but it's fun. If you like the God of War style of gameplay, you'll absolutely love this. There was just no puzzles, or no there was no aspect of puzzles for the part that I played. I think I played the first three chapters, and I was into the fourth one. But it was fun. You know, I like it. I know it's not going to be that long, because it shows you how many chapters there are, and I'm already maybe over a quarter of the way through the game. But for $25, you know, the graphics are amazing on that game. It's probably some of the best that I've seen so far. And I would have to honestly say that The Last of Us Remastered, that looked great. So does Dragon Age. The character models for Dragon Age look amazing. But I guess I'll just go right into the my Xbox One review in progress, if you want to call it that. Basically, my thoughts on it so far, because I did talk a lot of stuff about it, about its launch and everything, and I kind of explained that in the last podcast about how I feel now was going to be determined, and it's still on the kind of like, you know, how I feel is still kind of out there. I'm not totally on board with it. The operating system is complete shit. You've heard that here. I mean, you've heard that here, and I didn't even have a chance to play it yet. But I saw it, and I saw it in action, and it did not look very nice. It's very confusing, and it's cumbersome to navigate. It's obvious that they had designed it to be more of a system that you talked to through the Kinect, which I have no idea why they would even shoehorn that in to make that to where it was like the way that you navigated the system, because it's, I don't know who would want to do that. I know there might be a few here and there, but damn it, give me a damn controller. Put it in my hand and let me navigate the damn system. I feel like a damn idiot when I'm yelling at it. I mean, I feel like a bigger idiot than with me just sitting here talking to a microphone. You know, stumbling over my words, having long pauses when I'm not having a collected thought. But to me, sit there and go, Xbox on. Xbox, go to Netflix. Xbox, go to store. Xbox, go to games and apps. No. Just give me the damn controller. But because of that, your layout hinders your navigation a little bit, because it took me like 5 minutes to find the settings. And I thought, until today, I thought it was actually just on the home screen. Oh, okay, it's right underneath everything. Well, no, they put your most used stuff down there. So I didn't access the settings for a week. So now I'm trying to find the settings again and going, where the heck is it? I was able to find it. And you know, of course, it's a, you know, it's a learning curve. You have, you know, it's like when you're learning a new system or whatever, but it just, it's not dumbed down enough for me, I guess. It's not user friendly. So that's a big, big negative. And if you remember, there were so many different versions of the 360 dashboard that by the end of it, it wasn't even the same. And I assume they're going to do the same thing with this. And I hope they do. Because the easier that I can navigate this system, the more fun that I'm going to have with it. Now I'm going to move on to the controller. And it's not as bad as I thought it was. When I first held it in the store, I wasn't sure about the triggers. For some reason, when I play standing up, my hands rest more, or my index fingers, my trigger fingers, they rest maybe a little bit more on that button, right, or like they rest against it. So I felt like each time I was hitting the triggers, I was accidentally clicking the bumpers because they're click switches and they're not actual buttons, which is the 360 had that too, and I wish they would have changed that and made it an actual button, but it is what it is. Sitting down, being relaxed, I've noticed I don't rest my fingers there, and it's not a big deal. But the triggers, I noticed it more when I was playing Rise, that because you have to trigger the execution thing with the triggers. And it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe because I'm not a shooter guy. Maybe it's because I'm not like using them so much. I don't know. They seem to be a little bit too big, too wide maybe. That when I rest my fingers on them, I don't hit them right. Maybe, you know, maybe that'll change with time. Also about the controllers, that I wish thumbsticks were a little bit bigger, like the little pads. Now, and I understand that's a kind of an oxymoronic thing for me to say, because I use those sticks in my PS4 controller. I actually modded my PS4 controller to use those sticks because I actually like those sticks better than the PS4 sticks. Now, I like the size of the PS4 sticks. I don't like the texture. They're kind of rubbery feeling. They just kind of, my thumbs slide off of them. My thumbs don't slide off the Xbox One sticks. They have this little indention with a kind of a tire grip on the outside of it. And your thumbs hold onto it. But I wish it was just a little bit bigger, because my thumbs don't feel like they're comfortable resting in there. Okay, I do have one more thing. And unfortunately, everything that I'm saying is negative. I guess I'll go with my few positives that I have right after this. But putting in the codes could be a lot easier. When I go to put in the codes, I put in the codes for Call of Duty, because I got the digital download thing. And I've actually got the slip here, if I can look at that real quick. Oh, you're going to hear like a little bit of a stick, because it was stuck to something, but on the back of it, you have four codes. You have the game, then you have like digital stuff that you get for buying the digital version. And each time I enter the code, which is like, what is it, 20 something, 25 digits, each time you enter that, it takes you back to the main storefront. Instead of asking you, do you want to put in like another code? And that is, it's just kind of annoying. Now, I do know that if you have the Kinect, that you can actually put the code up to the camera and it will read it and automatically do it for you. That's a cool feature. But as someone who doesn't have the Kinect and someone who's never going to buy one, it's not a feature that I'm ever going to utilize. So for those, please, Microsoft, for those of us who have to input the codes the old-fashioned way, please make a little feature there where we can actually go back and just keep entering codes, because, you know, sometimes we have more than one code to put in, which I have a bunch of codes to put in, or at least three of them, for the three games that I bought today. So I'm going to have to go through that mode again, but what else do I have to think about? Okay, good stuff. So the PS4, you know, is really good about going back to your game, suspending the play, and then going back into it once you're done doing what you're doing, and you can go back to it. Now, on the Xbox One, if you turn the system off, it's the same way. So I was playing Rise, and I turned the system off, turned it back on, you know, clicked on Rise. I'm like, I'm going to play Rise for a little bit more. It picked up right where I was. I didn't have to restart the game or anything like that. I thought that was freaking cool. And the PS4, that's the only thing that I've seen so far that the Xbox One has over the PS4, is that when you, if you're playing your game, it gets you to your game quicker. You know, maybe it does, maybe the system isn't truly off. Maybe it's like in a pseudo standby mode, but it doesn't give you any indication that it is. So, and I don't know if you put your system in rest mode, if I don't think that is the case for the PS4. I think you still have to start the game over. So, that is the big plus that I've seen for the Xbox One so far. I'm going to keep you guys, I guess, abreast of what is going on as I play more of those games and just give you guys some more clue on, you know, my thoughts about the Xbox One. So I've kind of blazed through this little podcast. I had about four things I wanted to talk about. And the last thing I want to talk about, it just got released today. And I'm sure that me and Nate are also going to talk about this next week when we go and do, our together episode. But it's the Star Wars Episode 7 teaser trailer that got released just today. And they put it online. See, I thought it was just going to be in like 30 theaters across the country. But it actually got shared online through, you know, not through actually, you know, legitimate sources on YouTube. And it's about a minute and a half long. And there's not a lot there, but it's just enough to whet your appetite. So I'm just going to kind of recap it here. You know, it starts off with you seeing like Tatooine. And then you hear like this narrator, this scary voice, you know, who is this guy? And then you see the stormtroopers. Well, actually, no, you see like this little rolly droid, and then you see the speeder. Then you see like these bass looking stormtroopers with their blasters. They're on the ship. They're getting ready to like get off of it and go kick some ass and not hit anything because no, they can't hit the broadside of a barn. But I mean, it was just each scene gave you just a bit of a taste about what this is going to be like. You know, they had like these X-wings flying, and then you saw this this Sithy fellow with this lightsaber, and it was a little different. It had like these little hilt guards on the side, like these little two red things. Because, you know, it was red and it came out, but then on the side it had like these little guards that came up. And I've actually seen some negative things about that, and they said they're not digging it. But I thought it looked cool as hell because, you know, I tend to remember them thinking like the same thing about the double sided lightsaber with Darth Maul. They're like, oh, that looks stupid, until that fight, and that fight is like one of, you know, the highlights of Episode 1, if not the highlight, was the fight between Darth Maul, Qui-Gon Jinn, and Obi-Wan. But then, the part that gave me the goosebumps was seeing the Millennium Falcon for just that few bit of seconds that we saw flying. And it was, you know, in a dogfight with some TIE fighters. And so we got TIE fighters, X-Wings, Falcon, you know, Sithy fellow, droids, speeders, stormtroopers. It was just enough to whet your appetite for like another trailer here in a few months. And I just say that December 18th cannot come soon enough. I cannot wait to get to see a better look at that. Now, and I actually got fooled today because I was so excited about that damn trailer. I saw somebody share something on Facebook saying, hey, this is the international trailer. And it actually kind of looked real. And I didn't even check my source. I just threw it up and I'm like, oh my God, it's another one. And then one of our listeners corrected me and said, no, this has been confirmed fake. And, oh man, it was just so soul-crushing because it was actually pretty well done. The only part that I actually questioned it when I was watching, you saw this guy flying, and he looked like Admiral Akbar. But and I want to say that looked really familiar. Maybe it was like from one of the games back in the 90s that actually used like FMV footage or something like that. I'm trying to think of like Rebel Assault or something, but that's the only part that made me question it. So yeah, Star Wars Episode 7, Forced Awakens. The Forced Awakens. It is being forced awake. But anyway, yeah, I mean, honestly, I blazed through this podcast. It's about 30 minutes into it. I'm not going to sit here and try to find stuff to talk about. I'm not caught up on anything because I am a horrible, horrible co-host, and I have been caught up in my games. I mean, and I guess that's my gimmick. That's what I do, right? I play games. I collect games. So maybe I shouldn't be using that as much of an excuse. I could just be like, that is the damn excuse. That's why I'm not caught up. That's why I haven't read Walking Dead 134. That's why I haven't been watching Gotham. It's not because I don't want to read them. It's because I've got too much crap to play, and then Dragon Age on top of that. Because I've been playing the hell out of Dragon Age. And if you have not been playing Dragon Age and you love RPGs and you like the other Dragon Ages, get your ass on Dragon Age Inquisition because it is fucking awesome. Now, with that, I think that was my only F-bomb in this whole thing. So I'm just going to end it on that. Hope you guys had a wonderful holiday. And hope you guys enjoy the rest of your weekend. Well, actually, by the time you hear this, your weekend's going to be over. So I hope you had a good one. Yeah, guys, we'll be back next week with both of us. And hopefully we can get enough to talk about. I assume we're going to be having a big Star Wars conversation because me and Nate are huge Star Wars nerds. So, yeah, guys, tune in next week to hear me and Nate break down that trailer a little bit more and hear both of our sides to it. Then let the speculation begin. So, all right, man. All right. I'll just end the awkwardness right now and just say later, guys. Hey guys, Brando back here real quick again. I hope you enjoyed my second solo cast. I wanted to kind of remind you guys that we have a YouTube channel. Just search Journey into Comics on YouTube. I put up videos showcasing my gaming collection, stuff I buy. I did an unboxing for the Xbox One. I'm going to be doing a lot more of that going forward. So I wanted to just kind of remind you guys that, yeah, we're going to have both of us, me and Nate, are going to have stuff on YouTube soon. It's going to be kind of like an offshoot, just side thing to go along with the podcast. But we're also on Facebook and Instagram separately and together. So, yeah, check us out on all of our other web adventures. So, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and see you guys next week. Later.